Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the broadest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Bill Nye, the science guy, set us up for a good show, Fred.
He sure did.
Because he kept telling Ken Ham, hey, why don't you creationists make any predictions? We made so many predictions.
Oh, we've been making many predictions over the 8 years of Real Science Radio, and we've made a prediction last year.
In fact, Fred, that was a short-term prediction. They said the data would be in within a year, and all the evolutionists made one basic prediction. Real Science Radio made the opposite prediction. So let's get to that in the show.
I can't wait. We'll find out if we're busted or confirmed.
That's right. And at realscienceradio.com/predictions, we have our general predictions, our psychological predictions, our soft tissue predictions, and our list of predictions that have been confirmed. So why don't we begin with our general predictions?
How about an assessment of mutations in the fossil record will show that there are far fewer mutations in these fossils than there are now?
Wow. In other words, we have more mutations today than we did way back when? Because we're breaking down. We're not evolving.
That's right. We
better.
Know that scientifically. Things are breaking down.
Right.
And we'll find fewer in the fossil
record.
And that's
what the Bible teaches. So if ever there's really a system-wide, worldwide analysis, we're saying that you're going to have way fewer mutations in the past, in the fossil record.
Yeah, because we're really de-evolving.
That's a good prediction. Okay, how about this one? And this came from evolutionists about a year ago or so. They were looking at fossil insects, and they thought, well, this insect is so old. They thought like 80 million years old. This would be before they evolve hearing. So we're going to look at it really carefully. And then they said, oh, shucks, it has hearing. And so we predicted at Real Science Radio that evolutionists are never going to find these creatures that didn't have hearing or that have, you know, the ability to
whatever.
Yeah, these abilities will have been there since these creatures were created. So that's a fun prediction.
How about 300 million year old amber that has carbon-14 in it?
Oh, that's a good prediction, Fred, because we know it's not millions of years old. And carbon-14 only lasts thousands of years. So our prediction is that when they get around to carbon dating amber, it's going to have plenty of carbon-14 in it, showing that it's not millions of years.
Yeah, the carbon-14 should have long turned into nitrogen, but it'll be there. And we predict that that's what they'll find.
Yeah, and even if it's uncontaminated, like a beautiful chunk of amber, and if it's not radioactive, right?
Yeah, so they can't blame it on some other
neutron capture.
Yeah,
just original carbon-14. That's a fun one. Then how about this? The evolutionists have said, well, sponges, since they're at the bottom of the tree of life, they think that their stem cells will be the ultimate stem cells from which, like, all of the tree of life.
Isn't that the thing that we have 70% in common with our DNA?
Right. Isn't that funny? We're 70% sponge.
Yeah.
But so because their model is wrong, therefore, this prediction of the evolution model will never be validated. That's our prediction. It will not be validated. Sponges will not be found to have the ultimate stem cells because they're just an organism like all the other organisms that God created.
Okay, how about mitochondrial Eve? We think we'll find four of those, right? Because of a genetic bottleneck that happened after the flood.
That's right.
Because there was how many women on the ark?
On Noah's ark, there were Noah's three daughter-in-laws and Noah's wife.
Yep.
They each would have had their own mitochondrial DNA, and a lot of people think only Noah's sons and daughter-in-laws had offspring, but it turns out that Noah's wife also had a child after the flood, and you could find out all about that at realscienceradio.com/Canaan.
And that's kind of a Real Science Radio exclusive.
Yeah.
And that's our own prediction.
Yeah. So four mitochondrial DNA families, and the fourth, you know, they've identified three around the world.
They have. Three major groups.
Yeah.
You can see that on Wikipedia.
Right.
But there's this fourth group that's kind of isolated to Africa, right?
And wild diversity there. And we're predicting that eventually they will determine It's from a fourth mitochondrial lineage. That's our prediction. All right, how about this? Asteroids, you know, they found now, what, 100 or more asteroids that have a moon or two moons? Well, on Real Science Radio, we've predicted that they're going to find that they have even more complex debris fields orbiting asteroids because of the way they were formed. And to find out about that, you check out Walt Brown's Hydroplate Theory.
Yeah, spitting up lots of stuff from Earth when the fountains of the Great Deep broke up.
Yes, so that is fun. Asteroids will be more complex in their orbits, in their debris fields, than is assumed. The next one is about carbon-14 again.
Yeah, so we're back to carbon-14, our friend. Carbon-14 is a huge friend of creationists. We expect to find it in dinosaur fossils, but with a little bit more detail, right?
In the soft tissue.
Yes.
Now, it's one thing to find C-14 in bones. And so then the evolutionist says, well, that's from contamination.
Mm-hmm.
But we take it one step further. We are predicting that it's going to be documented carbon-14 atoms in protein molecules. And protein molecules are assembled through very complex processes in life. So when you have collagen, the guy who discovered carbon-14 dating, he made this observation. He said, if you have carbon-14 in a collagen molecule, it cannot be contamination.
Oh, interesting.
Because when that molecule begins to break down, it's no longer collagen. Now it's humic acid.
Yep.
So if you have like 99.9% collagen in a specimen and you find out that there's a lot of carbon-14 in it, it cannot be new carbon atoms because they can't go in and take the place of the carbon atoms that are in this chain.
Yeah, that complex chain that's breaking down.
Yeah. So that's a prediction that in soft tissue, we're going to find carbon-14 atoms, and they only last thousands of years. They can't last millions. And we're going to have the evidence that those atoms were used by the animal to build these collagen and other protein molecules.
Yeah. So the next prediction, again, from the hydroplate theory, the fountains of the Great Deep pummeling the moon.
Yes.
So we think there's going to be more force of impact on the near side of the moon than on the backside.
Yes. And, you know, I think that's becoming obvious, but we are able to, as creationists, explain to people why one side of the moon was hit so much more ferociously than the far side. The far side was sprinkled. The near side had all these seas, they used to call them, and it's all this melted rock. And so that's going to be fun. But also, Fred, that the rocking of the near side of the moon, we know the one side is always facing us, right?
Yeah.
But it's not perfect. If you look at photos over a period of years, there's a movement called libration where you see over time a little bit more of one side of the moon that normally we can't see. And then it rocks back the other way. You see a little bit more of the other side of the moon.
So it's kind of like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. You know, you hit the other guy's head and it sits there and vibrates for a while. That's kind of what the moon's like, right?
Yeah, well, and sort of like a pendulum sort of. And so our prediction is that this libration is going to be observed to slow down much more quickly, like over decades and centuries, not over millions of years, like evolutionists.
Yeah, because the evolutionists also witnessed this libration, but because they think the moon is millions of years old, they think it's going to really be gradual dissipating of this bobblehead bouncing around.
Yes. Now, how about this prediction? Is it okay to predict that the evolutionist predictions will fail? There's a new field of study in the ionosphere and even on the crust of the Earth looking at magnetic disturbances and trying to predict earthquakes. And because of the global flood and the hydroplate theory, we can understand why there are electrical discharges from the crust of the Earth before and during earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the prediction is that this new field of studying the ionosphere to make earthquake predictions is going to be vindicated. It's going to work.
And it's already coming to fruition, right? We've talked about this before.
There's so much money being spent in this kind of research, and there are plenty of geologists saying that's never going to work. That can't be true. Well, we're predicting it is going to work. and we understand the mechanisms.
And we've had a show on the origin of Earth's radioactivity. Highly recommend it. That
yes.
was a really fun show. To me, that was the show of the year last year, as
well,
far as, you know,
yeah.
just groundbreaking stuff
yeah.
that a lot of creationists hadn't talked about.
So realscienceradio.com/radioactivity. And here's a clear prediction that earthquake warnings will be forthcoming based on the electromagnetic disturbances in the crust of the Earth that are monitored here on the surface and up in the ionosphere.
This next one is a prediction that both secular scientists and Real Science Radio make, but for different reasons.
Right.
And that's finding more powerful, less disputed evidence of biological matter scattered in our solar system.
Oh, I just love this, Fred, because if the fountains of the Great Deep broke forth and the Earth was ruptured along the mid-oceanic ridge, 46,000-mile crack in the crust of the Earth, then a lot of debris that was shot up, the rock, the water, the clay, including vegetation on the surface of the Earth, you're going to find a lot of evidence of biological matter in space. And there have been many studies that have indicated that this might be the case, and mm-hmm. we're predicting that they're going to increase. And by the year 2020, just to put a date on it, there's going to be a lot more.
Yes, that's our prediction. Would we expect to find maybe biological matter in a comet?
Yes. In fact, here are some of the things that's already been found. They have found what looks like cellulose. This was published over a couple-year period in the journal Nature. Diatom collected in 2013 in the UK. They sent up high-altitude balloon to catch something in a meteorite shower. They came down with a diatom, which is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Meteorites, they break them open. They find left-handed amino acids in meteorites.
That's a big one, because left-handed amino acids, if it's just in one-handedness, that is a sign of life.
Life.
Something that
is biological
yeah.
life.
Because when life breaks down over time, it becomes left and right-handed.
Yes. Apparent dormant bacteria in meteorites, which is so cool. And we're saying apparent on all these because they're challenged. Every time one of these things are discovered, there are scientists who say, well, that can't be because there's no biological material in space, but it's over and over. How about this? In Greenland, from ice cores going back recent, mm-hmm. not millions of years, but 533 AD, possible diatoms from Halley's Comet debris. Then there was in Sri Lanka in 2012, a diatom embedded in a meteorite that hit the ground.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of evidence.
And like I said earlier, there are some evolutionists who predict this because they're so into the sci-fi
yes,
alien thing.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot yeah. of scientists who aren't so into that, realize that, hey, how does that prove that Spock's out there somewhere?
yeah.
Because you find biological material.
Yeah, if you find bacteria in a comet or a
yeah.
meteorite shower, the evidence is it came from Earth because Earth is the living planet.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Not that it came from Mars, which
yeah.
is the dead planet. Isn't that funny? The evolutionists want to say, well, it came from Mars, which is dead, couldn't have come from Earth, which is
right.
brimming with
yeah.
life. That's a fun one.
Just like they say that there was a global flood on Mars, right? And there's no water there.
Right. They call it the Noachian Epoch. NASA does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there was some water there, but they think it was maybe global here on mm-hmm. Earth. With two-thirds covered a mile deep in water, and they say, oh, it couldn't be a global flood here on Earth. So where there's smoke, there's fire, and because the fountains of the deep expelled so much biological matter from Earth during the flood, we predict we're going to find significant and less disputed evidence of biological debris in space.
Okay.
And there's more. We didn't even mention all that there is already.
Oh, that's right. Now, what about our predictions on soft tissue? You know, we love the dinosaur soft tissue
oh, yeah.
find,
right.
the find of the century, really.
Yes. So the paleontological discovery of the century.
Yep.
Dinosaur soft tissue, now even DNA, right? So we have a number of predictions on this. One is that they're going to keep finding dinosaur soft tissue regardless, independent of the claimed age of the fossil. So if it's like 68 million years and they find it, Well, what if there's one 100 million years? Yeah. They'll still find it.
They'll still find it. They shouldn't if evolution's true, right?
Right. And what if it's not a dinosaur, but what if it's a 350 million year old conch or whatever it is? Yeah. They'll still find it. Yep. In other words, the age of the fossil is not going to be a factor, the claimed age, the alleged age, in whether or not they find soft tissue. The way you might find it in Egyptian mummies that are maybe up to 5,000 years old at the most, that's how you're going to find them in fossils in the geologic.
Yeah, because they're only up to 5,000 years old.
Exactly. Also, another prediction that dinosaur soft tissue will not be found only in rare circumstances, but it'll be found easily, that is, when looked for.
Yeah, when looked for, exactly.
Not in every fossil.
Because they don't look for that, right? They were totally shocked. You know, the word shocked we hear all the time from them when they discovered it in the first place.
Right. And the reason it's funny when evolutionists say they're shocked, and we like to point that out for years, is because it's not that they found something new. When they say they're shocked, they're horrified and all that, is because they found things that contradict their model fundamentally.
Yeah.
That's when they say they're shocked. And they're shocked all the time.
Yeah. So we already talked about biological material going to be found independent of the age of the fossil, but also independent of its environment.
Oh, yeah. Whether it's like mummified, some things are, or if it's in amber, sandstone, marine sediments, doesn't matter. Independent of the age, the alleged age, independent of the environment, you're going to find soft tissue. That's quite a prediction, right?
That is.
Yeah, that's a fun one. How about this? Evolutionists, they presume that dino soft tissue now lasts eternally. That's what they think, right? Because they think it's 100 million years old, some of the stuff. Well, they will be surprised to find that it is decreasingly discoverable in the 2020s, 30s, 40s, and so on, because it's not 80 million years old. It's only thousands of years old. So in 20 or 30 years from now, there's a lot more significant decomposition. So it's disappearing at a rapid rate.
So, Bob, this next one I really like. We kind of referred to left and right-handed amino acids before. We expect to find what's called unracemized or mostly left-handed amino acids to be found extensively when we look at the dinosaur soft tissue because over time it randomizes, if you want to use that word.
The laws of physics.
The left-handed amino acids, which is all you find in life, something living, when it dies, that starts to deteriorate and over time it becomes left and right-handed.
Exactly.
When Stanley Miller did his experiment, all he was able to create were two left and right-handed amino acids.
Yeah, and he needed really just left-handed. To say, well, here's how life evolved.
Well, no, you just created two pieces that were dead.
Yeah, and acid. He didn't make life.
Yeah,
he made some acid. Fred, this one is good because they use the percentage of left-handed amino acids to date whale carcasses. They take a dead whale. Hmm. They don't know when it died. They look at its retina, and they see, well, what percentage of the amino acids are left versus right-handed? And then they estimate how old it is. Well, we're saying that when they get around to looking at this, in dinosaur, and they've begun, they've just done a little bit.
So maybe like in a year from now we can talk about that prediction.
Right. And dinosaur eggshells, and like, well, why is there so many left-handed? So we're saying generally they're going to find, just like carbon-14, they'll find left-handed amino acids. That's a fun one. In this next one, they're going to have the same specimen where they're going to say, this specimen is not contaminated. This is original dinosaur soft tissue. And then we're going to say, but look at all the carbon-14 in it. Look at the left-handed amino acids. And they're going to say, well,
I
this
have a prediction.
Is contaminated.
They're going to say it's contaminated.
Right. So the same tiny specimen, they're going to argue it can't be contaminated because there's hadrosaur DNA in it. There's endogenous dinosaur proteins in it. Mm-hmm. We know it's not contaminated. Then we're going to say, well, these things only last thousands of years, not 100 million. And they're going to say, well, it's contaminated.
Yeah, they'll pick the thing that's convenient to be contaminated, and then they'll keep the one that isn't.
And you would think if there's some dinosaur soft tissue, like a blood vessel that you see under a microscope, if it's experiencing contamination, it's not going to survive. It's not going to stay around for 68 million years if it's being contaminated.
That's right.
So
good prediction. I like that one. So we're predicting that Mary Schweitzer, now who is she? She's the one who really discovered the soft
tissue. Dinosaur soft tissue, and we call her the Iron Maiden.
The Iron Maiden. So we're saying she'll be widely shown to be wrong in her published claim that iron somehow is the rescue device for
right.
the presence of this soft tissue with iron. Iron's preserving it. So iron is the formaldehyde rescue device
right.
for this soft right. tissue.
Right. And our prediction is that will be falsified because they're finding soft tissue in all kinds of environments with or without biological iron in any kind of heavy saturation. No, already we know that these things are not surviving because they're packed in biological iron.
Yeah.
Already. But that'll become obvious. Okay, then how about some psychological predictions? I like these, Fred, because human beings, we are mentally degenerating. It's sad but true.
Our predictions will get worse.
I like saying that everyone is mentally ill. That's yeah. what I think. Me at the top of the list. Compared to Adam and Eve and the ancients, mm-hmm. we are not able to think as clearly as they did. But here are some psychological predictions. 50 years after anatomists have shown that the human eye is not wired backwards, evolutionists will still claim that it is. 50 years.
Yeah, yeah.
A half century after.
That's an easy one. For example, the human gill slit argument in the womb.
On embryos.
I mean, that's not gone away, and it's been like 150 years.
Right.
So that's
so
an easy prediction, but it's fun to make.
Peppered
They'll continue
moths.
To say that there's no evidence of a global flood.
The peppered moths, right?
Yeah.
Such funny stuff. But yeah, so they're going to keep saying the human eye is wired backwards when it's wired optimally. In fact, a related prediction, Richard Dawkins will never withdraw his claim that the human eye was wired backwards, but he also will never repeat it again.
Yeah.
Because he's been so thoroughly debunked on that. The human eye is wired perfectly. Just go to realscienceradio.com/eye, E-Y-E. And we have a debate with a professor of ophthalmology from the University of California, and we go through that, and it's just beautiful.
So, you know, on this radio show, we've been celebrating discovery after discovery. I mean, that's
yeah.
what's so fun about doing this show, because
yeah.
we have so much evidence on our side.
Yes.
Just powerful arguments. So what's our prediction? What's the government going to do with
oh, yeah.
funding of scientific studies?
Yeah. Fundamental scientific research. For the past half century, governments around the world have thought this stuff is going to help us prove our atheistic, godless, Darwinist mm-hmm. Big Bang model. Well, it keeps backfiring for them. There are so many discoveries. We love it as creationists because they're pointing to creation. And evolutionists have to explain away discovery after discovery. So we're predicting governments are going to significantly reduce their budgets for fundamental scientific research.
Even on the social sciences, right? Like looking at how kids turn out if they're from a single parent. Well, they do those studies and they backfire.
Right.
It shows our point
yeah.
that
and,
how important the family
and
is.
Spanking
yeah.
helps.
Yep.
And, you know, with things like global warming, they've found out that people who are more scientifically literate have less of a belief in global warming. It's the opposite. And the same thing
yep.
with evolution. You know, in 2009, I have the statistic for Republicans, I just happen to remember, and they tend to be like quasi-conservative. But in America, about 56% or so of Republicans said they thought that we evolved. In 2013, it was down to about 47%. Real Science Radio is working, Fred.
Yes.
The creation movement is marching, the young Earth creation movement.
Well, hopefully next time there's a Republican debate and they ask, do you believe in evolution? There won't be just two meek hands slowly go up in
yeah.
shame, you
right,
know?
Right.
Come on, get all your hands up there. Evolution,
yeah.
you know, it's bad science.
Right, exactly. And so the governments are going to conclude they're not getting their money's worth, and they're going to cut back research on fundamental science. That's a prediction. Now, we've had some predictions confirmed, and way back in 1995, Fred, before we called any show Real Science Radio, there was Bob and Harriet Live back in the Stone Age.
Yeah.
And NASA had announced they're publishing their Hubble Deep Field image of galaxies the furthest away ever photographed. And we're going to see all baby galaxies just forming.
Yeah.
And I went on national TV, if you remember the TV
yeah.
show, right?
Oh, absolutely.
80 cities from Honolulu to Orlando, Florida, and said, NASA's wrong. These galaxies are going to look pretty much like galaxies right next door.
And guess what they look like?
For the most part,
this
they look like galaxies
confirmed.
Right next
yep.
door. That was
the spiral arms that should have definitely wound up and looked like just a featureless disc. But we see the spiral arms and they can't explain that because it looks like the galaxy was just planted there brand new.
Yes. Yeah, so fun. And so that was a prediction confirmed from a long time ago. 1998 prediction to Eugenie Scott. You remember that one about junk DNA?
Yeah, junk DNA. Yeah, that was one of her few arguments that she offered up
to support evolution.
You predicted that we don't know as much as we'll know in 20 years.
Yeah, we're going to
20 years from now, we're going to find a lot more function. And guess what? Now they're saying pretty much all the DNA is useful.
Right.
It has a purpose.
There's no junk.
There's no junk.
So that was confirmed. And she's a leading anti-evolutionist in the world, a physical anthropologist. 2004 prediction to an old Earth geophysicist in a debate on the age of the Earth, and the prediction was governments should increase their warnings to their people about earthquake risk. And Fred, since that prediction, there has been 600,000 people killed by earthquakes, compared to 3,000 on 9/11. That was right on. The 2007 prediction has been vindicated that evolutionists would try to ignore dinosaur soft tissue.
Yep.
That was vindicated.
I like this next one because, hey, you predicted that this guy you're going to interview,
yeah,
a guy wrote a book on eye evolution, that his book would have very little on eye evolution.
Yeah, the evolution of the eye. That's like the name of the book.
Yeah.
It's 200 pages long. We say it's not going to say anything about the evolution of the eye. And it pretty much didn't.
Yeah.
It's just on anatomy. And this is the big one we did, Fred, about a year ago. We predicted when the Russians were drilling in Antarctica to Lake Vostok, and they got 2 miles deep in their borehole.
Yeah.
And they're just about to hit liquid water.
They're going to look at that water. They got 20 million years of evolution that's happened. So, hey, we should see new species, new kinds of animals, really. That's a long time for evolution to occur in an isolated area, punctuated equilibrium. We can test it here.
So
an isolated population, and let's see what evolution really occurs in this isolated population.
Yeah, because what they predicted was that they are going to see, this is like a laboratory experiment, now they narrowed it down, 15 million years of evolution. They say we came from chimps just 5 million years ago. Right? You went from a chimp to a human being in 5 million years. That's what evolutionists say. So in 15 million years in this lake covered by ice, they should see 15 million years worth of evolution. You and I made the prediction, Fred, on Real Science Radio that they are not going to see 15 million years of evolution. They're just going to see normal stuff you'd find anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
Because it's all created a few thousand years ago.
So they pulled the stuff out. They looked at a lot of stuff. And here's a quote from the article from one of the researchers. He said, many of the species we sequenced are what we would expect to find in a lake.
In a lake. They have found thousands of microorganisms.
Yeah. 3,500, isn't it?
Yes. And they've done so much gene sequencing. And what they've found out is that these are organisms that they find wherever they look, in a river, in a lake. And
in other words, they're extant today, right? They're surviving, living species today. There's no sign of evolution. So, hey, were we busted or confirmed?
And confirmed, Fred, Real Science Radio. And it was not only a few Russian scientists. It is the entire evolution model predicted that you would have 15 million years of evolution in an optimal environment, because they say if you get a small isolated group in extreme conditions, you will have a lot of rapid evolution. What we got was a lot of reproduction.
That's right.
Of the created kinds.
Stephen Jay Gould is rolling in his grave. Yeah. Of course, he's a creationist now, but I'm not sure where he's at. But,
yes,
you know.
Exactly. Thank you, Fred
Thank
Williams.
Thank you, Bob. It was great. And hey, we'll talk about more predictions next year that came true that we've made on this show. It's fun being on the side of the truth.
It really is. This was Real Science Radio, our list of predictions, and our website, realscienceradio.com. Please check out our store. Make a donation. It's our telethon month. We desperately need your help. A one-time gift or a monthly automatic donation to stay on the air. May God bless you.